Turn with me to the book of James, chapter number 5. We are in James, chapter number 5. James chapter number 5, and starting off in verse number 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. So we're going to stop there tonight and look at the subject, of course, in case you haven't figured it out, is one about patience. And patience is much more than a virtue. And we've heard that, or I've heard that many times in my life, that patience is a virtue. Well, it's much more than just a virtue. It should be one of the first things that we use to strengthen us and to strengthen our testimony. A biblical definition for the word patience could be the ability to suffer afflictions, pain, toil, calamity, provocations, or other evil with a calm, unruffled temper, endurance without murmuring or fretfulness. And that could be a biblical definition for patience. So patience can spring up constitutional fortitude. Patience can spring up heroic pride. Patience can spring up submission to divine will, which is the ultimate goal. It can be the quality of bearing offenses or being able to endure injuries without anger or revenge. And those are hard things because it is just natural for us, if somebody hurt us, that we want to strike back out. And so patience is one of those things that we should use, that we should call upon whenever we are forced with, whenever we are faced with adversities. We could even use the word perseverance. Floyd the Barber tried to quote Calvin Coolidge, our 30th president. Here is something that Calvin Coolidge did say. He did say, "Press on. Nothing in the world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful individuals with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. But persistence and determination alone are omnipotent." We should never be ashamed to be hopeful. You know, some people will like to do that. They like to cast doubt on an upbeat or a hopeful person. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 5, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us." Adam and Eve, they had hope. Even though they were kicked out of the garden, they had hope. What was that hope? The hope of a Redeemer. And even though that Redeemer didn't happen in their lifetime and didn't happen in Noah's lifetime, Even when Eve made this statement in chapter number 4, she said she bare a son and called his name Seth, "For God," said she, "hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew." What was she looking for? She was looking for a Redeemer. But even though it didn't happen in her lifetime, the Messiah, the Redeemer, didn't appear on the scene for at least another 4,000 years from the time of Adam and Eve. So the early church also had this hope. They had a hope in the return of Christ. Those who had been in attendance at his resurrection heard this statement. Well, I say it often, Acts chapter 1 and verse 11, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." And so there's not a shame in having hope, even though it may not happen in your lifetime. You still have hope in Jesus Christ. You still can have hope and faith in him. Having hope that that a change for the better is imminent. Can you, if you can bear those thorns which plague you, hope is there to help you. Paul calls this hope in Titus 2:13 the blessed hope. It says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And even though we do have the same experience as the early church, we still have the same hope as the early church did. And we share that today. We have his word in the book of Revelation about hope. It says this, "He which testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus." And so we have this hope just like the early church did. And I think that James is trying to share with us today the value of patiently waiting for the Lord. And I'm not just talking about his return. I'm talking about in every aspect of our life, patiently waiting for the Lord. I wonder how many times we've jumped ahead of the Lord, got into something or did something or thought about something that we didn't have any business doing, and then it come back to bite us in the end. I know of many times in my own life. Many times. I think that James is trying to tell us that there's a value in patiently waiting. John chapter 20 and 29 says, "Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." And oh, by the way, in case you haven't figured that verse out, that verse right there, Jesus is talking about you and me. He's not talking about anybody else. He's talking about you and me. We haven't seen him, but we believe in him and we trust in him. So we have that hope. We have just as much a reason to believe in the imminent return of Christ than the early church did. I was just reading, I was studying for another message, and I was reading about a man in the 1800s who wrote a book. I don't know why they do this, but he wrote a book, something like, it was 99 reasons why the Lord will come back in 1816. And even though we know that didn't happen, and that it's not true, just as much as we know about others who have written similar books in the 1900s. Friend, I have a good feeling that somebody's probably going to write a book next year, 2021 Reasons Why the Lord will Come Back in 2021. Somebody's bound to do it. What I'm trying to say, though, is that we have the same reason to have that kind of hope that the Lord is going to come back. So what is the value of patiently waiting for the Lord? What is it that we gain from learning how to patiently wait for the Lord? Well, first of all, patiently waiting for the Lord teaches us how to be steadfast. Patience builds steadfastness. Look at our example in verse number 7. "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he received the early and latter rains." What is that example? Well, it's the example of the farmer. There is nobody as patient as a farmer. The farmer plows, the farmer plants, the farmer cultivates, the farmer harvests, but he must wait. He must wait in between. He must wait at every stage. He plows in hope that he'll be able to plant. He plants in hope that he'll be able to cultivate. He cultivates in hope that one day he'll be able to harvest. And each time, at each stage, he not only has hope, but he has patience because he knows he doesn't have a magic wand or some miracle elixir that's going to make those things pop up out of the ground. What if he plants and someone else harvests? Is his labor in vain? Well, the Bible tells us that no. The early church believed that the return of Christ would happen any day. Were they disappointed or their work in vain because it didn't happen? No. We would do well to ask ourselves the words of a poet. If today would be the end and eternity begin, am I all that I should be? Is the Master satisfied with me? That would be a good thing for us to remember. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So, learning how to wait patiently for the Lord not only builds steadfastness, but it helps us to be strong. We are given these two examples of strength and patience. We read and draw strength from the messages of the prophets. We read about them today. But in their day, many of them were not popular men. You can read the book of Isaiah and read the book of Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Hey, read the book of Samuel, 1 and 2 Samuel. You read those books, Daniel. They were not popular men when they first started preaching the Word of God or saying something about the Word of God. As a matter of fact, their messages were offensive. But yet they preached the Word of God even though it wasn't a popular message. And they preached it, and we learn about them today. I don't think if you were to ask any of those men today, were they sorry for preaching? I don't think any of them would say no. It made them stronger. Does anybody like to be cast into the midst of a hole? A hole? Well, there was a prophet that was thrown into a hole. And then they could be, they didn't even have a ladder to get him out of there. They went and got old rags and tied them together and dropped it down in there and told him to put it around him and pull him right back up. But he stayed down in there. Did his message change from the time that he was thrown into it to the time he was pulled out of it? No. He wasn't a popular kind of guy. When somebody came up to David and preached to David, David didn't like what he heard. Still, David repented. All I'm trying to say is these things in your events in your life, like the prophets, they'll make you stronger. They believed in what they preached and they wouldn't back down, even if it wasn't a popular thing to say. Matthew 23 and verse 37, Jesus is speaking, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. And then look down at verse number 11. Verse 11 tells us that they were happy to endure these afflictions. It says, behold, we count them happy which endured. They were happy to go through those things. Few, if any, in the Bible were made to suffer like Job. We know the story very well about Job. He had it all. He lost it all. He was afflicted. And then he got it all back twice as much as he did before. And it doesn't tell us how long that affliction lasted. How long did he sit in the ashes? How long was he bombarded with questions and people accusing him of things that it weren't true? Yet there he said, those famous words, he said, even if he takes me, I will still worship the Lord. He strengthens you. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31, everybody probably loves this verse. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So, we know that waiting patiently helps us to be steadfast. Waiting patiently for the Lord helps us to be strong. Waiting patiently for the Lord helps us to be sure. The second coming of Christ does not make us indifferent to trials. We go through things. Anybody gone through anything today? Nah, I shouldn't even ask. It doesn't make us indifferent to trials. It doesn't mean that we're just going to walk around like, oh, somebody cut my arm off. That's okay, I got another arm. Somebody cut my leg off. Oh, that's okay, I got another leg. No, we go through things. What they do help us to do is they help us to be sure. Our troubles are real. However, we can suffer through them because we know that things will change in His coming. When He comes, a lot of things are going to change. A lot of things are going to change. Let's read verse number 8 again. Be also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Friend, the signs are out there, and they are more prevalent today than they have ever been. The proof is out there. And anybody that even, I'm not even talking about a serious student of the Bible, anybody that just reads through it every once in a while will be able to see that those signs are definitely there. 1 John chapter number 13 and verse number 2 gives us this confidence that we can know. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We can be sure of that. Learning how to wait patiently for the Lord not only helps us to be steadfast and be strong and to be sure, but it helps us to be satisfied. Satisfied. Few things, if any, are more difficult to practice than patience. Matter of fact, I lived with the philosophy for a long time to not pray for patience. I don't pray for patience unless I'm talking about my mother-in-law. I pray she gets a lot of patience. Because there's really only one way you get patience, according to the book of Romans, and that is through tribulation. Because tribulation worketh patience. Four times in these verses, though, we notice that the word patient or patience is mentioned. It's encouraging us to have patience. Sometimes we might think, God, sure are moving awful slow. Of course, there is no greater example of patience than that of a farmer. We can't help our crops grow by worry. We can't make it rain on the fields, even though we may rain with tears. And when Jesus left this world, he gave his followers this promise. John 14, verses 2 and 3. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Learning how to wait patiently for the coming of the Lord builds that steadfastness. That's a sure foundation. Builds strength. Builds surety in our hearts and minds. Why? Because we can see the signs are out there. And it helps us to be satisfied in knowing that in the end, we're on the winning side. Let me just say, God has his set times. And it's not for us to know what those times are. And indeed, we cannot know them, and we wouldn't really want to know them. So we must learn how to wait. We must learn how to wait for those things to happen. If God had told Abraham and Haran that he must wait all those years until he had given him the promised child, his heart would have failed him. He would become impatient. So in gracious love, the length of the weary years was hidden. And only as they were nearly spent and there were only a few more months to wait, God told him, according to the time of life, Sarah shall have a son. If God told you and told me on the front end how long we would have to wait for the fulfillment of a desire or a dream, we would lose heart. You'd grow weary in well-doing, and so would I. But he doesn't tell us those things. I'm very thankful. He just says what F.B. Meyer said. Wait. I keep my word. I'm in no hurry. In the process of time, I'm developing you to be ready for the promise. Wait. I say on the Lord. I hope that's been a help to you throughout the rest of the week. And as we get ready to go into the weekend, and we definitely just need to pray and ask God to help us, especially with this upcoming election and so on. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for mercy and for grace. Thank you for the word tonight, and I pray, Lord, that you'll help us, Lord. Help us to learn, Lord, about patience. Give us your strength and wisdom, dear Lord, to learn from the examples we see in the Word. And we pray, God, that you'll please be with us, Lord. Let your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen.